How often do you expose yourself to a different type of industry to really help get you inspired to think differently? Well, today I'll share five key lessons that I took from the book Unreasonable Hospitality, and I know it will help you too. Welcome to Your Business Quest podcast. I'm Usman Sharif, the business owner's coach, and I'm dedicated to guiding established experts like you through the journey of confidently growing your business without chaos and confusion. Come along as we navigate the unique chapters ahead of your business, exploring how to master your mindset and truly embrace your entrepreneurial superpower in everything you do. So if you're ready to make some real magic happen in your business, then let's embark upon this exciting quest together. Hello and a warm welcome to this exciting conversation that I'd love to have with you. It's so nice to be actually recording this from my home office. I have missed this seat. I have missed my desk. Isn't it funny how sometimes the grass can seem greener? I used to, when I started my business, be traveling up and down the country and even abroad delivering courses. And then after a while, I was like, ooh, it's a bit too much living in hotels. My life changed. I had kids. I got married. And then even before the pandemic came, I was doing a lot more things virtually. And then since then, I spend a lot of time doing virtual coaching, virtual training courses, delivery. And at the start of the year, I was getting itchy feet thinking, I am literally seeing my office day in and day out. And even to the point where our boys go to school in basically this development where we live. And so there are times where I'm out the house, but I'm dropping them off, I'm picking them up, and days could pass, and I'm like, I've actually not even left this estate. And so therefore, in those times, I'm like, I really can't wait till I get away and get to a conference or get to deliver something. And then the last couple of weeks, I have literally had that, but maybe a bit too much because I've been in Edinburgh doing a leadership program. I came home for the night, I unpacked, repacked, I went down to London for a couple of meetings and then to a conference where I was attending, and it was a different world. It was business to business focused. And then I came home before Mother's Day, spent some time with the boys and Shireen before packing again to go down to Wrexham to lead a team of people managers through a workshop as well. And the first couple of days was great being away. And then I was like, oh, I miss my bed. I miss being able to go into the kitchen and cook. I miss the boys and all that thing. So it's definitely a lesson for me that it's good to have things in moderation. And that reminder that the grass can seem greener. Have you ever found that yourself? You pine for something and then you get it and you're thinking, and you appreciate what you've got. So today's been great. I have been at my desk. I've been delivering coaching sessions for my clients, great conversations. I have been delivering an online workshop. And then tomorrow I have got lots of fun things that I'm doing, but I'm doing it from the comfort of my home office. I don't have to travel. But let me take you back to my London trip. You might know that I love, love, love London. I used to work in London, I used to live in London, and anytime I have a chance to go there, it just energizes me in so many ways. So it feels like a second home, but it had been some time since I had been to London, so I was so, so excited. I did so many steps, I was walking around seeing all the sights. Big Ben now looks very shiny. It was great hearing the bells chiming because it was getting fixed for so long. And before I was traveling down, I was getting prepared. I was packing things and I knew I had like lots of time basically walking around and traveling. So I thought, right, what will I listen to? And I found a book. And I've got this rule though, and tell me if you are like me in this way, that if I see something come up randomly, I'm saying that in air quotes, at least two or three times. So two is my kind of, it starts to get into my attention at that two, but third is where I go, right, if I've not taken action by then, take action. So if I hear about a book or if I see something pop up a couple of times, yes, I'm great as a marketer's best friend, especially if Facebook ad starts to target me with things. But what happened was a book came up and I literally heard about it and I seen it show up really quickly over a few days. And by the third time, I was like, yep, okay, I am taking that book to London with me. So I downloaded it. It's called Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Guadara. And what I loved about this book particularly was it was completely removed from what I do. It's completely removed from the industry that I'm in. And I tend to love listening to podcasts. I love reading books. I'm always learning. But I tend to get attracted to books that are very much industry specific or to further deepen my learning or just to kind of enhance things as well. But this book was all about Will's experience at taking the very famous New York City's 11 Madison Park restaurant to the number one spot on the world's 50 top restaurants in 2007. And it's all about his pursuit around unreasonable hospitality, which effectively means going above and beyond and really focusing on how you make people feel. And what I loved about that book was how all those concepts can actually be really transported and applied in so many different industries, in all industries, in my belief. But it was a real reminder for me that we live in a vacuum. We, as human beings, we filter things. We live in a filter bubble. And that's why, as humans, we tend to gravitate towards similarities without even realizing it. And that could be similarities in terms of interests, personalities, views, political views, experiences, all that kind of stuff. And that's natural. It's just the way that we are hardwired to really find that familiarity. But what can happen is if we keep ourselves in that bubble, we can end up being in that echo chamber. We can get so blinkered that we don't get to challenge our thinking or our perspectives. And we can end up just doing the same things over and over again and not realizing that we are filtering out lots of possibilities or not really expanding our awareness as well. So this book, Unreasonable Hospitality, was literally a travel companion for me. I devoured it literally within a couple of days. I started to listen to it when I was on the train in Glasgow, and I finished listening to it on Saturday as I was walking through Borough Market in London, reminiscing about my old days of working in offices next to there, buying some, you know, nibbles and having some great food, and also buying some homemade Borough Market chocolate brownies as part of my wife's Mother's Day present that I brought back. So I loved it, and I definitely recommend that you listen to it. And today I want to share with you my key learnings and insights from it, because like I say, I was fascinated by it. It wowed me, it inspired me. And what I loved in particular around was the story that it told. And it really just showed that journey of being someone that is growing a business. How do we make it work? How do we navigate those business changes that you go through? How do we instigate those changes? How do we adapt to things? So that's what I want to talk about and share with you on this episode. I know you're excited to get going, but before we jump in, I want you to get the most from today's episode. And for you to do that, just like it would be if you go on any journey, you need to know where you currently are right now before just blindly moving forward. So I invite you to take my Business Magic Scorecard right now so that you can get a snapshot of your current reality. You know what's going well in your business and where you've got the biggest opportunities for even more growth ahead. It's quick, typically taking less than 97 seconds. It's free, and I know it'll give you so much clarity. You'll get a personalized report with your results, along with some exclusive free resources to help you based upon your results to move things forward. I promise that it will help you to discover which of the three elements of my business magic formula you'd benefit from focusing upon right now. You'll then hear what's discussed in the rest of this podcast episode very differently and through a more personalized perspective with your scores in mind. And that, my friend, will help you when it comes to deciding what to implement and what actions to take as a result. So take action now. Simply go to osmansharif.com/scorecard or visit the links in the show notes. Okay, now let's get going. So first of all, let me say, I am not planning on spoiling the book by sharing too much information because I really would encourage you to listen to it. You could read it, but I really did like the narrative of it. It literally, as I say, took me on a journey as I was listening to it. I was really consumed by it. So definitely check it out. I listened to it on Spotify, but there are other players out there. So what I plan to share with you is my key takeaways from here. at many times I caught myself just pausing and thinking and just tapping into my phone some notes, capturing those moments in terms of for me to take action around, and also things that I thought you would find useful. So I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of all the stories and all the examples, because like I say, I don't want to spoil it for you, but here are my key takeaways. The first key thing was around the theme that hospitality is really integral and at the core of everything that we do, no matter what our business industry is. If we put that hat on from a hospitality perspective, what difference can that make for how your clients feel or your potential clients feel as well? So it's really about thinking about that as a journey. So no matter what you do, if it's a service that you deliver, that's what I tend to do when I work with business owners. I offer business coaching for expert business owners like you. I deliver masterminds. I deliver workshops in the corporate world and executive coaching. And even though it can be quite intangible in some ways, it's all about that experience. So I really would encourage you to think about your business and that end user, okay, that person that you want to make an impact to. So the reason why I say that end user, because in certain situations, you might have multiple stakeholders that you're working with. It might be that person that is engaging with you and your services, and they're the ones that you're working with, or it might be their team, or there's many shapes and sizes, I'm sure, of your business and how this applies. But if you really think about how can you keep that hospitality mindset in the forefront of your mind when you are planning what you do and executing what you do. And that can make the difference that can be felt in so many ways and makes you stand out. And it's not just a nice to do. This could be the real heartbeat of your business and why people go, I loved working with you. And that's why they will come back when they need more help, or they'd recommend you, or they just leave with that feeling of, you really helped me, you made an impact, and you've got that lasting legacy. And that's the key thing. So how can you do that? And what are you already doing in your business? And sometimes we could take things for granted without realizing it. And the attention to detail is really key. Let me share one example for you. I deliver a lot of workshops for a particular organization in Scotland. And when I deliver workshops, I create training materials for them. And I get them printed and really nice. I'm quite focused and a stickler for detail in that way. But the L&D manager of this organization, he commented when I was leading the next workshop and when I gave him a copy, he's like, oh, I always love the fact that you put the logo of our organization on these workbooks. And he said, you will not be surprised at how many people we work with that they come and it feels like they're just rolling out something that's off the shelf. But he's like, that one thing just makes me always go, you care. And then I was like taken aback by that, because I was like, oh, it's such a small thing. And yes, it does cost more money because otherwise I could print things in bulk. But actually, I very much work in bespoke things based upon what my clients want. And that's why no two workshops are exactly the same, even if the topic might be quite similar as well. So that one thing can make a difference. And what I also loved around it was when later on, they got me involved in a different program. And this guy, who's the L&D manager, was talking to his colleague, a counterpart. And he's like, don't worry, Usman, honestly, he will bring the magic touch to this. It'll be a unique experience. And he said to them, just you wait to see the workbook that he creates and gives to your team as well. And that, again, just really highlights that stickiness, that how something that could be quite simple really for him always just reminds him in terms of going that extra mile. And it's not something that is rocket science or that takes too much to do in an industry like mine. And it makes me reflect upon other things that I do that I don't even think about, like sending voice notes to clients or past clients or emails to go, hey, I saw this article or I saw this and it reminded me of you. I thought this would be useful. And the amount of people go, thank you for actually thinking about me. And there's no expectation in it. There's nothing in return for it. It's just a genuine part that really makes me appreciate the people that I work with that put trust in me. And it's that kind of ongoingness. It's about whether we finish working together, it doesn't mean it's like out of sight, out of mind. If I see something or a book or an article or a podcast, I think, oh, this could be really helpful for them, I'm not going to keep it to myself. That could be the thing that they need to hear at that point. So sharing is caring in that way. So what are some things that you could do if you just really think about hospitality at the core of what you do? And how can that make the difference for how people feel when they work with you and the impact that can leave with them as well? The second key theme that I got from the book was the importance of setting ambitious goals, but doing it in a way that really works for you. And I talked about setting goals on the previous episode, so definitely tune into them if you haven't recently. But Will talks about the journey that him and his business partner took when they were taking the restaurant 11 Madison Park to the number one restaurant in the world, and how they had that ambition. They knew where they wanted to get to, but it wasn't an overnight success. Even when it came down to getting stars for the Times in New York and for the restaurant reviews, it was getting from 2 stars to 3 stars. And then how do they get from 3 stars to 4 stars? And to get to 3 stars to 4 stars, it was really mind-blowing for me because I didn't know that world. And that, again, was why I found it so fascinating, because it just exposed me to different ideas, a different industry. And typically, to get a 4-star review or 4 stars for your restaurant, you had to transform it into a fine dining restaurant experience. But they wanted to do something different. How do they still have that quality of fine dining, but do it in a much more modern and inclusive way? And that meant breaking down a lot of barriers and assumptions and what other people would expect in their industry as well. So again, how can you do things differently in your industry that might go against the grain, might go against the norm of what other people are doing or have been doing as well? But I also love the fact that these business owners, effectively these business partners, were so ambitious. And one story sticks out for me was when they went to the award ceremony, when they made the list for being in the top 50 restaurants in the world, and they were so excited, they got there, and a little bit of a spoiler here, the first time they went, they got placed at number 50, and they were mortified, they were embarrassed, they were so disappointed by that. But if you actually think about it, if you were in the top 50 restaurants in the world, that is saying something, isn't it? Right. How many times do we sometimes be quite negative about the successes that we're having or not really think about the perspective? Like, how amazing is it to be on that top 50 list in the first place, to be in that room? And they really said that was a big wake-up call for them. They didn't necessarily celebrate it. They didn't see it as a benefit, or not a benefit, they didn't see it as something to kind of be proud of. But how could we celebrate successes along the way? And that's what they then looked at. How do they fuel that in terms of, right, we're here, how do we keep improving as well? And step by step, instead of going, well, that's it, we only got to 50, we're going to give up, they kept moving forward. They kept their eyes on their goal. And a lot of it was incremental changes that helped them to take one step to the next, and so much happened in between it as well. And a key thing that I really took away from that book was they didn't do it themselves. They brought a team around them, and that team were people that were working for them, but also supporting them in different ways. So think about that in terms of your world. Who is helping you to really move forward with that dream and what you do as well? And again, we'll talk about team as we go through this episode in a little bit more detail. And what I also love was that it wasn't smooth sailing. There was lots of examples that they shared and stories that literally got me at the edge of my seat while I was on the train thinking, what's going to happen now? And the real part of that was that every experience that we have could really help us with how to navigate the next experience. If only we remember that, if only we look for those silver linings and going, right, what can I do that will help me to face this challenge? And sometimes that might be, who did I speak to? It might be, what did I dig back into in terms of resources, experiences, your network, your past things that you've done in terms of skills or capabilities to help you move things forward as well. So the next key theme that I took away from the book was about continual evolution and the fact that we won't get it right the first time, okay? And so therefore, it gives us that realistic perspective of business and going, it's healthy and normal for businesses to evolve. And especially, we need to recognize that as a small business owner or a micro business owner or leader, because in those situations, it's you who is setting the vision. It's you who's setting the direction. It's you who's primarily driving the action there as well. But when it comes to evolving, it's before jumping into it, it's great to think about, why am I doing this? Is this evolution or the thing I'm looking to do, is it enhancing things for the client? Okay, or actually, is it sometimes making things harder or less impactful? I.e., could you be so excited about, oh, let's add this in or do this, and you're actually adding more complexity into it instead of simplifying it? And he shared an example around, they were so meticulous about the experience and what they were doing when they were serving their customers in the restaurant, and they wanted it to be so perfect. But him and his business partner were having a meal in their restaurant, and it was when one of the new menus came in, and they were having a deep and meaningful conversation, but they kept getting interrupted by the servers. So what they ended up actually doing was adding so many frills in it that actually those frills were becoming a bit of a detractor to what the core thing that they wanted in terms of people to feel and experience in the restaurant, instead of enhancing it. And they shared examples of when they were navigating through rough times, especially during the 2008 financial crisis, and what tough decisions that they had to make, and why it was important for them to really make decisions so that they didn't just kind of go blindly and think everything will be okay, but how they also decided what to be flexible on and what not to compromise on, and just some of the things that they did to be agile in those situations. And I know I said I wasn't going to spoil it all, so I'm not going to say too much more, but at the end of the book, it was really interesting to see how things moved on for him and his business partner. And that can also lead to natural evolutions where sometimes people might move on, they have different goals and visions. And, you know, that's, again, something I see a lot with businesses and business owners. It's like, all right, well, what's next? And how do they navigate what's next for them that's right for them, but also right for the business that they created? So it's not then just going, great, I'm bored or I'm moving on, and then we leave people behind, or we leave behind what we have spent our blood, sweat and tears creating in a way that's actually not going to leave a lasting impact. And that's often because we're just really bored of it, and then we move on without thinking about what can we do to really keep things going, even if you're not at the core of it anymore. And going back to how people are key, and the team really made a difference in this situation. So whatever that looks like for you, you might have people that work with you and your team, or you might not at the moment. For me, that really made me think about, how can I just get other people to help me in what I'm doing? And I've got people that do help me, but it just made me go, I could actually get more help. Other experts and people that bring their expertise and their superpowers into what I do to just make things happen much better for our customers and clients, and even better for me and what I'm looking to do as well. And he shared so many examples that I was nodding my head along to in terms of how he really tried to identify the strengths of individuals in their team. And sometimes their strengths were not getting used, so they were becoming debilitators in their restaurant and people were getting frustrated with them. But when they actually changed their role, they just saw them come alive, and that's where their sweet spot were. So it's all about really looking at, who am I working with, and have I got the right person that's helping me do what really needs to be done here as well? And the sense of ownership around how he worked with his team. So he used the example of, they might have had the food and beverage manager that was responsible for all the kind of the drinks in their restaurant. But that person might have been the wine expert. That was what their passion was. But they were also in charge of the coffee and the beers and all the other kind of beverages. But that wasn't going to get the best extra edge for all those different kind of beverages. So instead, they actually found who were passionate about those different things, and how could they become the legends for those, instead of it just being an all-rounder that had to focus on everything. And then when they started to really own it, what difference that made in terms of what they did and how passionate they were. And then when they started to get credit for it, even in the press, it was, how did he make sure that they got the limelight, they got the credit that was well deserved, instead of it coming down to him or his business partner as well? And there was, again, so many fascinating things that you wouldn't even notice if you were dining there, but it made a huge difference around how they worked as a team in terms of how they navigated the restaurant floor, how they asked for help proactively from their colleagues by using hand signals, even to the point where they used hand signals and little things that they did that had an impact on customers in terms of how quickly they got their coats from the cloakroom, how they got their water right to their table, depending if they wanted still water with ice or sparkling water. All these small things were just mind-blowing. And again, it made me think about, in small businesses like mine and yours, what are some of the small things that we could do that can make the difference? And it was refreshing to hear that it wasn't all this nice rosy story, because he shared examples of how he didn't get it right, especially around people, where they were adamant about the power of promoting from within the restaurant group. But then when it came to certain projects, when, for example, they're opening up a new restaurant, he didn't relinquish control of being the general manager of the restaurant that was operating at that top level. But instead, he was looking at starting the new restaurant, but also still being the general manager of 11 Madison Park, and just what happened to the team and the morale and how things that worked really well started to slip because he wasn't trusting the right people. And he actually just didn't promote from within, even though that was something that was important and what he said that he was going to be doing as well. And the final thing that I'd really want to talk about is, how do we bring our past experiences into what we do? I primarily work with experts, so coaches, consultants, and service providers that have had a track record in, let's say, a large organization or a corporate environment. But sometimes after the years go on, they can forget what they experienced from that world, and they don't necessarily bring that experience and that awareness into what they're doing. So he talked about a concept about being corporate smart and restaurant smart. Okay, so again, high level here was very much about how there's some great benefits about having that corporate smartness, i.e. infrastructure, routines, scalability, you know, saving cost procurement wise, if you think from a corporate smart way. But also how, if we only think in that corporate smart way, we can sometimes lose some of the magic moments around what that individual restaurant might need, what that individual client might need as well. So it's about, how do we balance that? So it really did get me to think about, even for me and a lot of my clients, how do we bring that experience that they've got, i.e. that corporate smartness, into what they're doing? And how can that inform the decisions that they make in terms of their services, their delivery, and what they do? And again, going back to my own personal example, I got into this world because I love seeing people transform. I love the toolkit of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because for me, that's where I saw real magic happening and breakthroughs where people got rid of limiting beliefs and they built confidence really quickly and just changed the way that they were operating, the way that they were thinking, feeling, and acting. And that breakthrough moments was, for me, that magic moment. But often what can happen, and again, I put my hands up to admit this, that over the years, it can be so easy to just go, oh, I'll add this in, I'll add that in, I'll focus on that. And we can end up putting lots of things, or I've ended up putting lots of things in that are good, but actually are not giving that person that chance to experience some of that magic, that real unconscious mind magic in what they do. And it doesn't matter if that's in a corporate workshop or a leadership executive coaching client session, or for business owners like you, that is the magic. So for me, it was that element of, how do I keep that magic alive and at the core of what I do, instead of diluting it by thinking about some of the other things which are good, but might not be what people come to me for. So again, think about that in your world. What is your key magic that you can bring and that people have come to you for in the past? And are you really leaning on that in what you do? Because it is so easy to fall into the curse of knowledge, thinking, well, everybody knows this, but really, do they know it? Or is it just because you know your topic or your expertise inside out? And repetition is absolutely okay as well. How many times have you read the same thing or heard the same message, and it might have been the fifth or the sixth or the hundredth time for you to go, now I really get it, based upon your thinking at that point, where you were in your business, and even for you to go, right, I'm hearing that message over and over again, but I need to now act upon it. So that was my take on the book. You can probably tell. I will probably listen to it again because I really was inspired by it. I sent it to a number of clients and friends to say, I think you'll really like this book. Please definitely think about it, tune into it. And I love the fact that it did get me to really just think differently. It helped me to really look at my business in many different ways. And I knew, even when I started listening to it, that I wanted to share that with you on this podcast. So whether you listen to the book in its entirety, or if you read it, or even my summary has sparked something for you around how do you become unreasonable with your hospitality and have that hospitality mindset in what you do, then that will be magic to my ears. And sometimes it is about just stepping outside your bubbles to see things in different ways. And really, that's the magic. And I know I'm rambling a little bit here, but that's what I really find fascinating. And the real difference that I believe I bring to my coaching clients, especially small business owners, because I still work with a whole range of industries and organizations. And that just really gives a different perspective and helps me weave that into how I support my colleagues. There's one example that always sticks in my mind. I was delivering a program for a number of people in the military. So there was a period of times that I'd be working and delivering things at an aircraft base. And then the next week I would be at an army base. And then, you know, seeing the big aircraft carrier come into a port as well. But there was one time I just remember that I was leading a conversation with a group of really senior people in a military organization, and the colonel was there, and they were talking about the imminent threats of a particular country, and they were talking about what could they do, how do they manage change, and all this fun stuff, and it was a leadership program. And then the next day, I was talking to business owners in a group, and they were talking about, oh, Facebook have changed this, and, you know, it's all doom and gloom, and I was like, really? Perspective here. And it was just interesting for them when I share that example. They're like, okay, right, what can I do? Because like I say, sometimes we can be so in our own bubbles. So as I wrap up this, I hope you got some great insights, or it's made you think about what you could do differently in your business. And please do share with me if you have had a similar experience. Have you read a book? Have you listened to a podcast that was from a completely different industry that helped you to shake things up in a positive way in your business? I'm always keen to expand my thinking and my awareness. So please do share any insights or book recommendations with me as well. And you never know, it might feature up in a future episode moving forward. So please do take action. As I say, one of the actions might be to go and listen or buy that book. And if you do, then please do connect with me. Let me know what you think of it. And I look forward to sharing even more with you on the next episodes. Until then, bye for now. Two quick things before you go. First of all, I would be so grateful if you could do me a favor and take a minute to subscribe, rate, and leave a review of this podcast on your favorite podcast player. This will mean that this episode and future episodes find their way to other business owners to help them on their business journey. And also for you, it'll mean that the next episode will be waiting for you in your feed so that you don't miss out. And then if you've not already done so, I'd again love to invite you to take the Business Magic Scorecard, because in less than 2 minutes, I promise that it will help you to clearly see where your biggest opportunities are for growth and what's currently going well for you, so that you can keep doing those things. You'll receive your results in a personalized report, along with free exclusive resources to help you move things forward based upon your individual results. And what's more, you can even book in for a free 50-minute virtual cuppa with me so that we can have a real two-way conversation about your business and results. So will it be your design, your mindset, or your strategies that need your attention, so that you can confidently grow your business without chaos and confusion? Find out by going to osmansharif.com/scorecard or through the links in the show notes. I look forward to hearing what you make of your results, and until next time, bye for now.